Okay, so God's word is the foundation of everything. And specifically today, we're going to look at the fact that God's word is the foundation for health and healing. Right now, having good health is important. Do you agree? Yeah, who wants to have a healthy immune system? We do. We all do. So I am going to show you that God's word very clearly is the foundation for health and healing. So let's go to God's word and have a look at this point. Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49 has been our key verse throughout this series. And I'm going to read it again because it is such a good verse. And verse 46 says, this is Jesus talking. So Luke chapter 6, 46, for those who are following, says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." So God's word is a foundation when we hear it and do it. Okay? So when I'm speaking in this series, I'm not just saying, like, you know, this is like a magic book or something, and if you put it under your pillow, all your problems will go away. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm saying this word, when you read it and act on it, it becomes a foundation for your life, and nothing can shake you. This is pretty amazing. This is God's word bringing transformation. And when I say nothing can shake you, I mean nothing, not even death. Because death is simply a passing from this life to eternity with Christ if you're a Christian. So God's word is the foundation of health and healing. Let me give you some verses about health and healing. And I'm going to give you some points tonight that are going to help you to know God wants you healthy. So, believing and obeying God's word brings health and healing. So, first off, I want to look at believing and obeying. Psalm 107, verse 20 says this. That's Psalm 107, verse 20. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions." So, God just sent a word and healed. Exodus 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and 26. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases that I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Who heals people? The Lord. The Lord is not wicked and evil and trying to put sickness on people. He is the God who heals. You need to know that. You need to understand that. And you need to believe that. So as we look in God's word, and I've given you a couple from the Old Testament, right, about the fact that God, even before Jesus showed up, said, "I want to heal people." And he said, "Look, if you keep my word, I'm bringing you healing." That's what he said. And he also shows us in the Old Testament that plagues were healed when people looked to God and repented. So plagues are not a new thing. Somebody say amen. Plagues are not a new thing. They have been around for a long, long time. And in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13 to 14 is one of the keys how to deal with plagues. And 13 says, "When I shut up heaven so that there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people," everybody say my people, "who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Doesn't matter where you're from. If you're a Christian, you're part of God's my people group. And so he's saying, these are my people. And God says, my people who are called by my name, in other words, Christians, if they will humble themselves. This is pretty key because sometimes when there's plagues or terrible things happening throughout the whole world, maybe Christians want to sit back and go, well, it's obviously all their fault is because they are so many bad people. He said, if you and I would humble ourselves and pray, not them, they don't know about prayer. They don't know that God's even real, but we do. And he's called us to humble ourselves, to pray, and to turn from our wicked ways. Sometimes God's people forget how to live. And they slip into sin and things they shouldn't. God says, cut it out. Turn from it. There's my little correction message. When things like this are happening, it's a great time to look right here. Not all over. It's a great time to look right here and say, God, check my heart. There's some crazy things going on in this world. Check my heart. And Lord, if there's anything that's not pleasing to you, I give it to you right now. And Lord, I am humble enough to say, forgive me. And Lord, I am saying, come and turn things around. Turn things around for Slave Lake. Turn things around for Alberta. Turn things around for Canada. That's how plagues were dealt with in the scripture. And it hasn't changed. You see, God's word makes it very clear that he wants us to have health. And he shows us how. You don't have to be stuck with sickness. You really don't. According to scripture, God wants us well. Now, have I ever been sick? Well, of course. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am not supposed to stay there. God made a way for me to be well. Mark chapter 9 and 23 is an interesting story. And this is a story about Jesus and his disciples. And I'm going to start reading at verse 20, but I'll just give you a little background and then I'll read from verse 20. So Mark 9 and verse 20 to 23. And Jesus' disciples are praying for a young man, and the father has brought his young son to get prayer. And the young son, from the story, it seems that he is possessed with a spirit that causes him to throw on the ground and convulse. And it tells us a little more as we go, but the disciples can't heal him. So they bring the boy to Jesus. So verse 20. So they brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often it has thrown him in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And as you read further in the story, the father says, I believe. And then he says, help my unbelief. In other words, I don't know if I do. And Jesus, seeing a crowd starting to run together, he immediately rebukes that spirit and the young man is healed. But I want to show you something here about healing that is extremely important. If you read this story in some other versions, at the end of the verse where the father is saying, if you can do anything, please help us, Jesus' reply is more like, if I can do anything? And then he says, it's not if I can do anything, it's if you can believe. That's the idea of that answer that Jesus gave. Because you see, it's not about if God can do anything. God has the power to do anything, but he has chosen to let us be a part. And if we truly want to see healing, we must believe. Our believing is the key that turns the healing. It's that simple. Christ made it that way. So he looks clearly and says to each of us, do you believe that a pandemic can be stopped or changed? Or are you saying, well, God, if you can do anything, you know, it doesn't seem like you can. Well, his answer to you and I is, if I can do anything, yeah, I can do anything. Can you believe? Can you believe? Because anything is possible to the person who believes. Oh, my goodness. Did I just say anything? Did you hear what I just said? Anything. Jesus is the Word, and he brought healing everywhere he went. So I'm giving you some scripture that the Word of God is the foundation for healing. You just need to believe it and act on it. Jesus is the Word, and he brought healing everywhere he went. John 1, verse 14 says, the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And look at Matthew 8, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him, Jesus, many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Somebody say word. Somebody say all. With his word, he healed all that were sick. Wow. I don't know. I just love healing, and I love the word of God. All. And this is important for you to believe, because some people would be like, well, maybe he's just not going to heal me because, you know, I don't deserve it, or I was so bad, or no. He didn't make any maybes. Okay, there's no maybes. It's all. You see, there was none of them that deserved it any more than we deserve it. But it was because Jesus came to freely give it. And when you give something freely, it's not paid for, is it? If I give you something freely, it costs you nothing. It requires nothing of you. Okay? If I say, oh, I'm going to give this to you if you do something for me, well, it's not free. If I say, I'm going to give this to you, but I need to know if you've done everything right last week, well, it's not free. But he gave it freely. And healing is given freely, but you need to believe. I believe someone's going to get healing at each and every service with this message, because God always backs up his word. Always. Always. And because I believe what he showed me when I was preparing the message, there'll be healing. Isn't that good? So get ready if you need healing tonight. Start expecting. Okay. Jesus paid for healing once and for all. This is what you need to know. He paid for it once and for all. I told you it's free. John 3, 14 to 17. Let's look at this verse. John 3, 14 to 17. It says, as Moses lift up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Okay. The word save means to be made whole, body, soul, and spirit. So the word save is not only for your spirit, it's also for your body to be made whole. So in other words, he paid the price for your spirit to be made whole, and you can be with him in heaven. In other words, the salvation we talk about. But he also paid the same price for you to be healthy, healed, and well. And today I want to take a little bit of time to look at the reference Jesus made. He said, because this is Jesus talking where I just read to you, and he's saying, just like Moses lifted up the pole with the serpent, Jesus, myself, the Son of Man, will be lifted up, and because of it, all will be saved. Now, if you don't really know the story of the bronze snake, it may not make as much sense to you. So let's go back and look at the story of Moses and the pole with the bronze snake. It's in Numbers 21, verse 5 to 9. Numbers 21, verse 5 to 9. It says, and they began to speak against Moses and God. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. Oh my goodness. Can we be unthankful sometimes or what? God's taken them out of slavery. He's taken them through the desert. Oh, it might be a little rough. And it's manna every three meals a day. But they're not very thankful, are they? And they're complaining, and oh, we hate this horrible manna. Verse 6. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among them, and many were bitten and died. Now, God is protecting them continually. What has happened here? They've complained, and God just stepped back. Because they were going through a land where there were poisonous snakes everywhere. Listen. God doesn't leave you, but you can choose to leave him. You want to walk out from under his protection, that's your choice. I would say don't. Then, verse 7, the people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told Moses, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. And all who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze, attached it to a pole, and then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. This is the story that Jesus says is going to be exactly like him lifted on a cross. What did it bring to the people? Healing physically. Jesus took it one step further, not just healing physically, but salvation for your soul. What an awesome picture when you see it. But you know what? There's one other thing I want you to know about this story, because I believe it's also important. There's one more thing about this story that we find out if you're reading further in Scripture. You will find out that the people later on began to worship the pole with the serpent attached to it. And because they did that, it had to be destroyed. You see, people have this funny thing. They always want an object. You know, a good luck charm. You know, a rabbit's foot or something. I always think that wasn't lucky for the rabbit. Why would you even do that? But you know, they want an object to think it'll give them some protection or power. And you know what? We're not that different. And unfortunately, today, some people, just like in that day, who worship the pole with the serpent on it, now want to worship a cross. I mean, you're thinking, oh, we don't worship a cross. If you think a cross gives you some kind of protection, you've made it an idol. If you give an object power or think it has power, you have an idol. And what does God's word say? Have no idols before me. Did you know that in the early Christian time, for probably close to 300, maybe 400 years, they would never, ever have a cross as the symbol of Christianity? Did you know that? They didn't. And you're thinking, well, why not? Well, because in their day, the cross was something that was used for extreme torture and slow, painful death for criminals. The Romans put those crosses along the sides of the road and stood them up high so everybody going by would say, boy, I don't ever want to make the Romans not like me. And it was a slow, painful torture. You know, as they've studied back, they've found crosses, and they've said that it was likely that they were had a foot on either side of the cross, and they drove spikes through their ankles and spikes through their hands, and the hand could be anywhere from here to here, and it was likely through the wrist bone because that way it would hold them up. So no, early Christians would not say, let's have a cross for our Christianity symbol. Let me help you understand that. That would be like in our day, you know, a number of years back, they would had criminals, they would put them up to the gallows, put a noose around their neck and kill them because they were all terrible. So if Jesus had come in that day and age, he would have been hung. Would you come to my church if we had a big noose hanging in top of every door? No, you'd be like, these guys are weird. Okay, go a little further in time to the electric chair. Would anybody come to my church if I had a big electric chair and we bowed downers? No, you'd be like, these guys are nuts. Or, you know, they've gotten less barbaric, but it's still not good. You know, the syringe, lethal injection. If I made a big 6-foot syringe and placed it over here, lethal injection. That is not a way to remember our faith or our Christian faith. And it wasn't done in early Christianity. I'll actually read you this just because I think it's super important. And sometimes we don't know where things came from that we take a part in, do we? So let me just read it to you because you're going to know after today. So I have this article from Stephen Shisley from Biblical Archaeology. And I'm just reading two different paragraphs from it. It says, throughout the world, images of the cross adorn the walls and steeples of churches. For some Christians, the cross is part of their daily attire worn around their neck. Sometimes the cross even adorns the body of a Christian as permanent ink. In Egypt, among other countries, for example, Christians wear a tattoo of a cross on their wrist. And for some Christians, each year during the beginning of Lent, they receive the cross on their foreheads in ash. Clearly today, the cross is accepted as the most popular symbol of Christianity. But interestingly, most scholars believe the early Christians did not use the cross as an image of their religion because, which I just explained, crucifixion evoked the shameful death of a slave or a criminal. Scholars believe that the first surviving public image of Jesus' crucifixion was a 5th century wooden, on the 5th century wooden doors of the Basilica of Santa Sabina. Anyways, that was 400 years after. So no, they didn't use the cross. Now, he explains in his article where it likely came from. So he says, undoubtedly though, Constantine's adoption of the cross was the most important development that resulted in its becoming a preeminent symbol of Christianity. So Constantine, if you're wondering, he was a Roman emperor in the 4th century. And he actually did become a Christian, and he, purported Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. However, he is the one who made the cross popular, but let me read to you how. Okay, this is important. So according to Eusebius, the day before the Battle of Melvian Bridge, Constantine earnestly prayed for victory against the co-emperor Maxentius. Constantine's prayers was answered, and a most marvelous sign appeared to him from heaven. Eusebius related that Constantine saw a cross of light in the sky above the sun, bearing the inscription, "Conquer by this." That night, Eusebius reports, Jesus explained to Constantine the meaning of the vision. Constantine was directed by Jesus to create a new banner with the symbol of the cross, created by the Greek letters chi and rho. This well-known symbol in Christianity, which is usually referred to as chi rho, became known as the standard on the cross. So, the cross became popular because the Roman emperor, who was the person who ruled the entire world at that time, felt that Jesus told him to put it on a banner. And they followed from there. So that's where it started. Now, I don't want to say anything too harsh or anything about Constantine because I don't know him. He was a long time ago. However, So anyways, now you know. That is where it came from. So, our healing doesn't come through a wooden cross. Our healing comes through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross. Okay, so I said a lot to make that point pretty strong, didn't I? I want you to know that. Because maybe some of you have watched movies. You know, don't say you did, because it was a horror movie where they used a cross to get someone set free from a spirit, right? But that's actually not true. That's not how it works. Jesus paid the price, and if we believe, healing comes. All right. The word that Jesus wants us to get in us will cause us to believe the truth, and the truth will set us free. You see, we must never let an instrument of torture and slow, painful death become an idol, ever. But we must worship with all our heart the mighty King who suffered and died on that instrument of torture, and he died that death in mine and your place. Did you know that? That could have been you and I, but he chose to die in our place. And he did it for us. Now maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, but can't you have a cross because that helps you remember what he did? You know, if you want to, I don't think God's going to get mad at you or something, but did you know he told us in his word how to remember what he did for us on the cross? It's called communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me, didn't he? Now that's pretty cool, because taking a cracker and breaking it in juice, that is not morbid at all. That's pretty cool. That's how we remember what he did. And you know, typically at the first week of every month, we would take communion together. Right now we're not able to. We just can't have people coming and touching the same thing. But you can do communion at home. And if you check on our YouTube channel, I do communion there, and you can follow along at home if you want. You know, please go ahead and do that. And we're believing we'll get to do it again together here. It's just be some time, and we want to be careful. We're not, we want to listen to the authority above us and be careful, okay? But that is how you remember what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus, you see, he's no longer on that cross. He is now, it says in Scripture, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's no longer a lamb that needs to be slain, but it says that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It says he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when John saw him in heaven, he didn't see somebody on a cross. He didn't see somebody weak. He saw a mighty warrior sitting on a white horse with robes of royalty on him and a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And there was a sharp sword that went out of his mouth. That's the Jesus you're worshiping. And that is the Jesus who made healing possible. That is the Jesus who has no problem dealing with an evil spirit. That is the Jesus who is not afraid of wicked leaders. That is the Jesus who still is in control. And that is the Jesus who I choose to put my faith in. That is the Jesus who I choose to believe can heal anything. And if you believe that tonight, that healing is also yours. You know, when I preach a message like this, I look around and I feel like I know you guys and I know those that you've accepted Christ, because that price he paid is for our salvation. That is the number one thing. So I just need to ask, is there anybody who has not accepted Christ? If anybody has not, then I'm going to take a break to do something else. Okay, so I got a feeling tonight everybody here has. That's awesome. That's really awesome. So I want to move to healing then. So the same price that paid for salvation paid for healing. So if there's anybody here tonight, you need a healing. We are going to pray and believe for healing. Now again, I can believe for it, but the thing is you need to believe for it, because I'm not going home with you. Does that make sense? Have you ever wondered why sometimes at a big meeting and someone gets healed, but then later you hear they were sick again? It's possible that the person praying believed for it. But again, they don't go home with you. And if the enemy can cause you to doubt it and not believe, it's not yours. All right? So, who believes healing is for us? Good. Let me bring it a little more personal. Who believes healing is for me? Point to yourself. You believe healing's for you. Okay? You believe healing's for you. Okay? Who believes healing is for you right now? So I'm making it a little tougher. Who believes healing is for you right now when we pray? Do you believe that? Okay. So you guys believe that. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to stand together and we are going to pray for healing. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody or make anybody come running to the front or anything. Right where you're at, stand up. Everybody can stand, even if you don't need a healing, because you're going to agree with those who do. And we are going to declare and believe for healing for everybody who needs it. And all I'm going to, what I'm going to do is actually say a simple prayer where you're going to say, I believe and receive, okay? And you can keep your eyes open because I think we'll do a little action with this one, okay? So you don't have to close your eyes. But I want you to say this after me. Say, Jesus, I believe you paid the price for my healing. And right now, I command sickness, disease, pain, go in Jesus' name. I receive it. Go like this, go like this. I receive it and then put it to wherever you need it. I receive it. It's mine. Oh, I didn't hear that. It's mine. One more time. It's mine. Amen.